Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Democrats have their ticket. Billy Sutton and Michelle LaValle have received the party nomination at the statewide convention. As they hit the campaign trail ahead of the general election in November, we welcome them to In the Moment. Billy Sutton, candidate for governor, joins us now on the phone. Billy Sutton, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
On the phone from Burke, I should say. And joining me in the Sioux Falls studio, we have candidate for Lieutenant Governor Michelle LaValle. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, Lori. Thanks for having us.
You've had an exciting week, maybe.
Yeah, you can hear it in my voice. 5 days of nonstop talking.
Billy, what was this like for you to sort of move from the stage you were at before in the campaign to all of a sudden having someone else on the ticket, having a campaign partner, and getting through the convention, talking about platform issues and stuff, and now it's really, really rolling.
Yeah, we're just excited. You know, it's been a great great experience. We're thrilled to have Michelle on the team. We've built a really great team, and we've just got a ton of grassroots support, and just builds on the excitement that we'd already created throughout this campaign. And South Dakotans are ready for something different. They want to shake up, and Michelle's the perfect person to join the team to help do that.
So I'm looking at some of her resume and her work at the University of South Dakota and Avera Health and Raven that does precision agriculture, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce, Sioux Falls Development Foundation, Washington Pavilion. That's just scratching at the surface. You've got arts, you've got education, you've got agriculture, you've got fundraising and community development, lots of business work. And so when I heard her name, Billy Sutton, and I looked up her resume, I thought, well, of course, why has she been running this whole time? you saw that. You saw that in her, that she didn't necessarily, have that as her own plan. But how did you find Michelle LaValle?
You know, early on in the campaign, Michelle had reached out to us to just find out more about the campaign, and we hit it off right away. You know, we both have the same vision for South Dakota. We both love South Dakota and believe in South Dakota's potential. And I think that's what's so exciting is the opportunities that we have in front of us. And there's a clear distinction between what we're working to accomplish and what Congresswoman Noem is looking to accomplish, because our problems are not going to be solved by the status quo and politics as usual. It's not going to be solved by Washington, D.C. style politics. And we need to find common sense solutions for South Dakota's problems. And I picked a problem solver. I picked somebody that is going to shake up the status quo and get things done. And that's what Michelle has proven throughout her career. And that's why we're so excited to have her as part of the team.
Michelle, tell me a little bit about Billy Sutton as a candidate for governor first. We'll talk about what you bring to the ticket as well, but let's start with him.
You know, it's when I first met Billy a couple years ago. He was a guest at Downtown Rotary and kind of was reflecting on the legislative year. And I just see this spark in Billy, and his authenticity comes so clear. His family was there, and then the next year we were at an event, and he came over and we talked. And the more I got to know him, the more I just, you know, we had like backgrounds as kids and then did very different things in our careers. But I think he has, when I always talk about branding because I'm a marketing, nerd. And that's really what I've done with most of my career is help people kind of tell their story and reflect on their brand. And boy, what struck me about Billy is, does he have a story to tell? And I think that led him to this amazing desire about making South Dakota just better overall.
Yeah.
So it really called me.
I talked to somebody on the show yesterday, and now it's slipping my mind who said it, but they said, for Sutton to have a strong showing in November, he needs to be authentic. He needs to stay authentic to who he is. And I said, well, I don't think Billy Sutton could be any. I mean, if he tried, if a team of people came and told him, you got to switch your, you know, who you are a little bit. The voters want this. I don't think Billy Sutton could do that. So authenticity, Michelle, is something that really shines about this candidate.
And he brings that through to his campaign. I mean, the last week, really getting to know his campaign staff, too. It's just... Billy, you're so darn full of integrity. That's the thing. He's got so much integrity. And what he's got is, I call it true cowboy grit. It's grit and determination and just keep on going. He's working really, really hard.
And that's one of the other things, Billy Sutton, that we hear, you know, on this show a lot, is people kind of talk about things that, you know, Billy Sutton had integrity before integrity was cool.
I'm going to use that line. That's awesome.
Certainly something that you stand for, you know, in your time in the State House as well. Billy Sutton, talk about why that has been something that has been a lifelong part of who you are.
I was just raised with those values. You know, I grew up on a family ranch where you worked hard and you never quit till the job got done. Mm-hmm. And you did it with honesty and integrity because you had to. I mean, that's the only way it worked, and that's the only thing I know, you know. And I never saw myself in politics, you know. I was rodeo cowboy, and that's all I wanted to do, and that's all I saw, you know, forward for my life. But you know what? Sometimes life doesn't go the way you planned, and it's those values that got me through such a challenging time. You know, I had a base of support from family and friends that instilled in me a perseverance at every level, whether that, you know, was a physical, emotional, as well as a spiritual perseverance. And that's the only way I made it through the challenges that I faced after my injury. And that's really, I think, what South Dakotans really want from their leaders, is people that can persevere. Because we're all going to go through challenges. We're all going to have hard times. The state's going to have hard times and challenges. And the people want somebody they can trust and that's willing to persevere in the face of adversity.
Michelle, you might have noticed that I didn't start talking about switching of political parties in the beginning, but when you look, a lot of the headlines after your announcement was, hey, this is a lifelong Republican who has decided to become a Democrat. It is this race that is sort of, you know, the impetus for that in many ways. But address that as a strength, not a weakness.
Yeah, actually, I think it's wonderful because it's really a bipartisan ticket. And honestly, to change parties, for me, this made me really assess my beliefs. I never called myself a centrist or a progressive, you know, just not wearing those labels on my sleeve.
Right.
But I realized we're so alike. I just wonder if moderate and Republicans and Democrats really are the same. I mean, most people that I know in South Dakota kind of are pretty similar in their beliefs, you know, not really far left or far right. And changing parties, people seemed like they thought it was really dramatic. It just didn't feel so dramatic to me, to tell you the truth, just because I want to throw all in with Billy's philosophy. And also, I think most people know this, in South Dakota, you do have to be of the same party. It's a law.
Right.
And we even talked about, wouldn't it be great to challenge that and go forward? But it's so challenging to do that when you're in the middle of a race, right? So we really are looking at ourselves as bipartisan. But I think that just very moderate approaches and, you know, the things that we both want is the education piece, which is compelling. I mean, Billy is such, he made me just realize I had no idea that we're only one of six states in America that doesn't have an early childhood education program.
Right.
You know, I raised my son somewhere else. I just did not know that. That and then, you know, the healthcare piece. And Billy's also really about transparency and accountability in government. And that is, those things really turn my crank.
Right, right. Billy, let's talk a little bit about the rise in people who are registering as independents. And is that a reflection of what Michelle is saying here, where, you know, there are certainly some people who lead with the fact that I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, but we're seeing by the numbers more and more independents in South Dakota. Are they kind of, you know, in your, does it seem like maybe they're reflecting what Michelle is saying about not necessarily wanting to identify and be put in a political box?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what it comes down to is that people are sick and tired of the partisan nature of politics. They're sick and tired of politics as usual. They just want us to get things done. They want us to work together to find common ground and to use common sense. And I think that's why you've seen the shift. I think people are tired of the partisan rhetoric and tired of the status quo. And that's why I'm so excited about this ticket and about what we've accomplished throughout this campaign, is bringing people together, not tearing people apart based on partisan politics. And that's why I think I've been successful in my legislative district. I've always worked across the aisle to get things done. And, you know, by choosing Michelle, that shows unequivocally that that's how I'm going to lead in state government as well.
I want to talk a little bit about the Sioux Falls factor in a race for governor. But before we do that, Michelle, let's talk about your background, because you're not a Sioux Falls girl necessarily.
That's
although
right.
A lot of people in the city of Sioux Falls, you have big name recognition in Sioux Falls, but that's not where you began. So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up.
You bet. So I was born really on our family's homestead, kind of. It's really Burdett. I know the news said Tulare, so all the people from Tulare are saying, who is this girl, right? But it was very young, and we moved from the family homestead to right outside of Huron. My dad ran the sale barn, and my mom was in the Chuck Wagon Cafe. So we were either out sorting cattle in the yards, or we were in the restaurant doing the dishes. So very probably typical childhood for people in South Dakota. We had a working ranch and a working farm. Mm. And so we went to work with my parents, right? And so, you know, went to Catholic school and then, you know, graduated from high school in 76. And then kind of moved away when I was 17, went to 1 year at USD, and then my kind of life's adventure began. And I've lived in lots of different places. Went to school at Northwestern for undergrad and then back for my MBA at Kellogg. But have had a kind of a non-linear life, too. Took some time and raised our son. But we were in New Jersey and Philadelphia and Arizona and Chicago and Wyoming. And
but this is, in some ways, another typical, I mean, there's no typical South Dakota story.
Yeah.
And Billy has one typical South Dakota story. But this is another one in the sense that, and we're constantly dealing with it in the state, of young people who go to school and leave the state. So maybe let's talk a little bit right now about what you've learned about the reasons to come home.
Yeah. You know, I was drawn back home, and I was gone for 20 years. And it's funny, I came home from my 20-year class reunion in Huron and had met the CEO of Northwestern Energy, who was my sister's neighbor. And they were just telling me all the things they wanted to do. And it really made me see I could come back here and have a career.
Right.
And so came back home for that from Chicago, really, and that was just a little over 20 years ago. And so I have had just an amazing career back in South Dakota. So I hope viewers, we talk about the kids and the need for workforce development especially,
right,
to really show that there are things that are amazing in South Dakota that you can do from here. So right. Yesterday we had the South Dakota Hall of Fame at Downtown Rotary. I was past chairman, and the four newly inducted people, we talked about how they have this Legends and Learnings program where you tell your story and it goes into the classroom. So kids have this example of stay home, right? Stay home and do that. But I think the workforce initiatives that are going on everywhere, I see them from the Sioux Falls Development Foundation. We've got a big push on workforce development, which I think is really huge. But lots of people do leave and then come back. And you know what I think they do? They bring back all those great ideas with them.
Billy Sutton, what do we need to do, from here to sort of keep that trend going, where we convince students to stay in South Dakota for their education, or to come back to South Dakota once they've gotten the education that they desire, and put that innovation and that leadership and from the trades to college professors? What needs to happen from the governor's mansion?
Yeah, I mean, we have the hardest working families and kids in the nation, I think. I mean, people are looking for our South Dakota talent and our South Dakota kids to pick them up from surrounding states and all across the country because of their tremendous work ethic. And that's what one of the things I'm so proud of South Dakota about is our work ethic. But it comes down to opportunities. we got to give our kids opportunities to stay here in South Dakota, to raise their family here, and to build a life here. I think that starts with educational opportunities. And we used to have the second lowest tuitions in our region. We now have the second highest. Our tech school costs are some of the highest in the nation. We don't have early childhood education for our kids and families. And those are missed opportunities. Those are things that we need to be working on improving. We need to give kids opportunities to stay right here, to get an education here, and then to raise a family here. So we're going to be working on that as a big part of policy moving forward and giving our kids opportunities to stay right here in the state by keeping the cost of tuition low, by supporting our needs-based scholarship, by working to implement early childhood education that makes sense, that isn't really an economic issue for a lot of our families.
Right. Talk about that early childhood education, Billy Sutton, a little bit more, and how, because it's not an easy challenge to solve in, you know, a state that, you know, there's not just a bucket of money lying around. So what sort of things can make that happen in the state that are fiscally responsible?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question because there are a ton of opportunities. First, we need to study the need and you know, take a deep dive into the kids that are being missed. I mean, from a lot of studies out there, it shows incredible economic impact and a social impact to early childhood education. And I think communities and businesses are seeing that impact as well. And so I think it takes getting everybody at the table, bringing people together. And that's one thing that both Michelle and I are very, very good at. We are good at collaborating and bringing people together. And that's what I'm so excited about, is bringing people to the table to have the conversation about what does early childhood education look like. And that may be public-private partnership, you know, by getting businesses and communities involved in that conversation and coming together on solutions that make sense for South Dakota. And so I think that's the first step, is to start the conversation again, because we haven't had that conversation in a long time, and we're really missing out, and we are limiting the opportunities for our kids.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. My guests are the Democratic candidates for governor and lieutenant governor, general election in November. Billy Sutton and Michelle LaValle are here. We need to take a break. We'll come back with this pair in just a moment. Stay in the moment on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're talking with Democrats Billy Sutton and Michelle LaValle about the race for governor and lieutenant governor in the general election in November. Billy Sutton is on the phone with us from Burke, and Michelle LaValle is in the studio with us in Sioux Falls. And Michelle, let's talk about that Sioux Falls connection and the importance of and the challenges of this city, because if you don't live in Sioux Falls, you might not think that anybody from Sioux Falls has a solution for you, depending on how you think of the city. If you do live in Sioux Falls, you might not know who Billy Sutton is, depending on who you're, you know, what you're paying attention to. So talk a little bit, if you will, about that sort of interesting role that the city of Sioux Falls has in a gubernatorial election.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I know the influence that the city has because of the population base. And that's why I think Billy was really smart to choose me. Billy, way to go.
We'll just say that.
No, I mean, truthfully, you get the East and West River, right. You get the urban, you get the country, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why that bipartisan, and I think it's just an interesting, I think people are coming up to me the last few days and saying, wow, this is... It gives people kind of a pause for thought to be able to talk about having a team that kind of understands both issues. But I am just so grateful for all the experiences that I've had on boards and the great companies that I've worked for, because I think I really do have a sense of what they need. But also because I came from Huron, and, you know, when you're with companies like a Northwestern who, you know, we had offices all across the state, and I've been on a number of different statewide boards, I feel like I have a good sense of what both the country and the city needs. And you do have to appeal to all, right? The West River typically hasn't been that supportive of Democratic candidates, but I think Billy... because of who he is, I think that we're going to have a really good showing there. too.
Billy, is this another example of sort of that, you know, building the bridge or, you know, finding those things that we have in common versus those things that divide us?
Absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a divide between West River and East River. There's definitely a divide between rural and urban. But what we have to realize is we're all in this together. So, you know, we have to find ways to work together. And that's why I'm so excited about this ticket, because it brings so much balance. Brings so much balance to our state, and really, I think, puts us in the best position to lead here in South Dakota. You know, we're long. You know, I'm a fifth generation South Dakotan, and I think that between me and Michelle, we have a great understanding of what South Dakota needs and what they want, and that's again a big distinction between what our candidacy stands for and what Congresswoman Noem's candidacy stands for. I mean, the DC solutions are not going to solve our problem. And that's why I'm so excited about running this race and meeting everyday South Dakotans and working for them to find common sense solutions.
You know, one thing I just, if I can add to that, Lori, he always beats me because he's a fifth generation. I'm only a fourth generation South Dakotan. Always jealous of that. But in terms of the DC solutions, I think that most people I know are sometimes we're really proud of our state, but sometimes we stop and look at the numbers. And I mean, are you really proud to be 48th in teacher pay up? You know, you moved 2 points up thanks to Billy's work on the Blue Ribbon Task Force. He was one of those members, but we still lag in a lot of things. And to be one of only six states without early education or
right.
Not to score so well on technology. And I mean, all of those metrics, I think there's points of pride here that I really want to focus on to say, I know that we can do better. Why can't we do better? Yeah. Let's really focus on, because I think we all love our state and we're proud of it. But I also want to call attention to that we need a bit of a shakeup. And when you've had in business, I know I work with a lot of teams, especially the last couple of years on my own, where you come into a company and you can just see they need some change, and they need change among their senior leadership, because there's things that they become so complacent that they're not doing. They need a shakeup. And I really do think that's healthy. And I think when you have the same people talking the same thing, especially in politics, you don't get innovation and you don't get innovative thinking.
So tell me from your experience, yeah. Michelle, then when you go into, you're also going to face some resistance. So people who don't want that change, are there ways through your leadership and through listening that you can provide that change? I mean, the voters might want shakeup, but once they select you, the people that you're working with might resist it or be nervous about shakeup. How do you address that?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that goes to any organization, large or small. But I've done extremely well in very large bureaucratic places that, you know, like if you look at the energy business, for example, they used to call customers meters. They didn't even say the word customer. Mm. And so I think one of the things that I've been able to do really well is really stop, really do deep dives into everybody's opinion and listening and get that background on how we got to where we are. And then that's kind of the as is, and then get them to the vision of what could be.
Right.
And everybody buys in, because I think when you talk about vision, it's hard for people to say, like I've done for years, what's your 2020 vision? Because we're coming up to 2020, right?
Sure.
What could we be if we could remove some obstacles? I remember at USD when Jim Abbott used to say through our visioning process, USD will be the best small publicly funded college in America. And some people would go, oh, sure. In South Dakota, we're going to be the best. Look at all those other schools. But you know what happened? When we were trying to hire really prestigious faculty and deans and professors, they used to say that to us. They'd see it on the website, and they said, you know, that was a sign and a signal to me that somebody there had the direction and knew where we were headed. And I do think, Lori, that when you do that, and you do it very collaboratively, never top-down, everybody gets their say, every one of those key constituencies can really talk about what's the vision, what would you be so proud if South Dakota did this by this date? And I have had, I think, great success with that. And that's why when I said, Billy, I do really well in large bureaucratic organizations, he goes, oh, well, welcome to state government.
Well, I got a story to tell you. Senator Sutton, you've been, you know, around peer for a long time and bring that legislative and bring that peer experience. What are your thoughts on this? If the voters, you know, come out and say, you know, this is the shakeup that we want. We want this ticket in peer in the governor's mansion. Then what? Well, how do you bring that based on what you already know about the folks who are there? What's the next step?
Yeah, I mean, that just goes back to the basis of our campaign and bringing people together and offering collaboration and a focus on getting back to our values of honesty and integrity and hard work. I think that's one of the things I've heard day in and day out is the frustration that there's a lack of trust in government. And so I think it starts with bringing that trust back, you know, electing leaders who the voters can trust and know that, you know, I'm willing to listen and that Michelle's willing to listen and everybody's going to be heard and be represented. And I think it starts there. You got to build that trust, and then we can have those hard conversations about what needs to change. And that comes down to accountability. You know, accountability is really being able to address the problems that we have and to talk about those problems and then to offer solutions to those problems. And that's what I've been able to do as a state senator, and that's what Michelle has been able to do in the private sector. And so I think that's why we're such a great team, is that we're going to shake up the status quo and think about things differently, because we can find efficiencies in state government and we can make state government work for the people again.
I'm thinking about in the primary season when we saw two strong Republican candidates go head to head, and some of and you know in the race for you know, the House nomination as well. And we were talking on this program frequently about negativity in a campaign, what that looks like. When is it just, you know, being direct and when is it negative? So, Billy Sutton, you watched that. You and I talked, you know, a little bit about that before the last time you were here. But what's the role of negativity in this campaign going forward? You know, how do you sort of perceive it and what are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw there, you know, was part of the problem. You know, it was the you know, Washington, D.C. style politics. And I think South Dakotans are frustrated at that and they're tired of that. And I think they want people that are going to be honest and tell them the truth and be factual and have a positive focus moving forward, but yet hold our elected leaders accountable for their actions or, in a lot of instances, lack of action. I think we've seen that from Congresswoman Noem.
Michelle, this you know, Senator Sutton is saying things like transparency and accountability. These, you know, for a long time have been a part of, you know, his campaign and his message in peer. He's been on this program before talking about open emails for state employees, the Gear Up scandal. What can we do going forward to make sure some things change? And he brings up a very important topic of trust there and how much voters and citizens of the state it's been tarnished, you know, in a way. I won't say it's unprecedented, but in a noticeable way.
Because of national politics, too, right? Is that also you're thinking?
Yeah, I think, overall. So talk a little bit, you know, springboard off what he said when we talk about openness and the First Amendment and issues of transparency. What are your thoughts? Where do you stand?
Well, you know, it's been, I love, that's the number one thing that I was most appealing to me about Billy's platform was one of accountability and transparency. And it really, it made me think about that because I have wonderful exposure at USD and getting to know the First Amendment and really, really understanding that because of the Freedom Forum there and my relationships with Jack Marsh and Al Newharth and really wanting to get to the truth. And I really believe that whether it's in our business lives or our government lives, getting to the truth and telling the truth, that's why I think people do feel a little bit like that has not been truthful, especially in government and in politics in particular. So I'm just a firm believer, thanks to my friends, about the First Amendment and being able to tell the truth. And I know that applies to more journalism, but I think it applies to everything we're doing here in politics.
Senator Sutton, that's not a message that you plan on dropping anytime soon.
No, that is not. And I mean, I'll say this too: if businesses lacked the accountability and transparency, and they acted in a way that state government has at times, they wouldn't have survived. They would not be in business anymore. And there's no reason that we shouldn't expect our state government to be as honest and accountable and as transparent as our South Dakota people are. You know, we're a hardworking, honest folk, and they should expect that and get the results they want from state government in that vein. And I think that's why we've been able to gain so much momentum throughout the campaign, is that folks on both sides of the aisle, including independents, are frustrated with that lack of trust. They want to be able to trust their government again. And we have to use South Dakota Solutions. And you'll hear us talking about that a lot throughout the campaign, that we want South Dakota Solutions for South Dakota's problems, and we want to bring trust back to the people and give people their voice back.
One of those problems we were discussing earlier this week on the program is what soybean farmers and pork producers are looking at right now with tariffs in Washington and the relationship with China. Billy Sutton, are you hearing that from farmers and producers in the state, that even though, are they seeing the impact already? Are they anticipating an impact? What are you hearing from voters?
Yeah, I think there's just a real concern from the ag community about the uncertainty of it all.
Yeah.
I think then that creates uncertainty in markets. I think that that also creates uncertainty as it relates to our state budget. I mean, when ag is strong, South Dakota is strong. And we need to always be reminded of that, that it is our number one industry, and we need to do all we can. That's why I've committed as governor to put together a group of Midwestern governors from you know, all through the center part of the United States, and we'll go to D.C. and fight for agriculture. We'll go fight for policies that make sense for South Dakotans of every affiliation on both sides of the aisle, including independents. And I look forward to taking that on and working for policies that make sense for our producers, that then strengthen South Dakota.
Michelle, another topic that's come up frequently in the realm of agriculture is precision ag, and you've got some experience in this area as well. How important is this time, is the next few years, in where South Dakota will fit in the precision ag industry? Is it, I won't say now or never, but I mean, is it an opportunity now that really cannot be squandered?
Oh, I absolutely think so, and I am so grateful that I had those years at Raven to understand about precision agriculture, because the results are phenomenal in terms of increased yield and less usage of any kind of fertilizer, and precision with water, and just the, what's happening there is absolutely terrific. And I think South Dakotans are very progressive about this. I mean, we used to say anything with 100 acres or more, you really do get your ROI, and we're so lucky to have a place like Raven that's headquartered here, but they're doing business all over the world. You know, when I was there, we had, I think, 67 different countries really using precision products. And it's so great that SDSU has the first, I think it's the first major in America on precision ag. Yeah. And everybody's talking about how can we help them build that curriculum. Raven is helping with what the classes should be. I was just out in Chamberlain with the Game Fish and Parks folks talking about conservation issues. And they're talking about the impact of precision ag on habitat conservation. So, boy, the time is absolutely right. And if you're in South Dakota, you really can take advantage of this.
You both are very busy. You've been quite generous with your time today. So I want to say thank you. Billy Sutton, anything you'd like to leave us with as far as what's next for the campaign? People are going to see you throughout the state. Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, we'll be traveling a lot. I mean, you can connect with us on Facebook. Also, you can visit our website, you know, suttonforsd.com. And we're just really looking forward to getting out there, meeting South Dakota voters, and telling the story about the importance of this race and the importance of getting us back to South Dakota values like honesty and integrity and hard work as it relates to our state government. People deserve that, and they should expect that. But you really deserve has nothing to do with it. It's going to take hard work from our leaders and leaders that are willing to put in the time and effort to build a stronger South Dakota. And I'm so excited about the opportunities that we have in front of us. And I'm very confident in our ability to listen to the voters and really hear what they want from their state government. And we put together a great team to do it. And we're just excited to get out there and meet South Dakotans.
Senator Billy Sutton, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Michelle O'Malley, thanks for coming in. Hope to see you again.
Thank you so much, Lori.